And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand, and set on fire all the cities they came to. And there was only 600 men survived this genocide of the tribe of Benjamin that was filled with homosexuality. They cleaned it up. 600 men left. Now, they've come out here and said, hey, we've cut a tribe off. Verse 7, Judges 21. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord, we'll not give them our daughters to wives. We're not going to let none of them rascals marry our girls. It's what you got a right to do, Dad, Mom, Bud, and Sis. It's right. Old dumb parents. You can't tell them what to do. No, if you're dumb and lame-brained, but if you got good common sense and know the Word of God, then you got a right to do it. Keep an eye on them children. Guard them day and night. Watch who they cut their eyes around at, who they talk to, who they get that fluttering heart toward. Keep an eye on them. And you older ones, you need the same thing to you too. You make a bigger jug head than they will, making these foolish decisions without God's help. All right, verse 8, Judges 21. They said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah? See, to go up to fight. And they numbered, and was nobody from Jabesh-Gilead there. See, when you were neutral, they'd go and clean you out in Israel. Old church members sit around and wouldn't fight when God's righteousness was insulted, when God was fierce, his fierce wrath was turned on some enemies and you wouldn't go fight. God said, smite those that are neutral. All right, that was back from Judges, the 5th chapter. Curse ye, Merah, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly, the inhabitants of the Lord, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Curse them. So they went down there with 12,000 men and killed all the men and the married women with a sword and the children. And here's what the decided to do. They'd keep all the women, the young virgins, that had not known a male by lying with him. And they found 400. So they went down to the rock, verse 13. They spoke to the children of Benjamin to come out peaceably. And they came out, and they gave them wives which they'd saved alive, but yet there was not enough. They were 200 short. So then they had another idea. Verse 16. The rulers or the elders of the people, what we would do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin. And they said, there must be an inheritance now for Benjamin. A tribe must not be destroyed. We can't give them daughters of our wives. Verse 19, they said, behold, there's a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel. And therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, you go lie and wait in the vineyards and see. And behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, when they come out into the vineyard, you catch you one of them girls and virgins and get you a wife and go back to the land of Benjamin. Sadie Hawkins Day. And then you want to argue about God's way not best? Fooey on you. I don't have no regard for no such a mess. I know God's ways work and these other ways don't work. God's got ways to doing things to make your soul to fulfill that longing for companionship. But just an old boy, an old girl is not real companionship. That's only gratification. That's just satisfying that old sex drive, which is absolutely evil, unless you satisfy it in a marriage that is ordained in heaven. You're not going to have no satisfaction from it. It's going to be gratification. That's all you're going to get. And gratification is not happiness. It might be a note in happiness, as pleasure and content is, but gratification is a note, and happiness is a symphony of the soul. Praise God. In gratification, it's got its old lees and its dregs and its guilt and its fear. But in the cup of happiness that God gives you, there's no guilt, there's no fear, there's no leftovers or hangovers to haunt you. Praise God. You can lay down and go to sleep at night because your emotions are fully satisfied and met in a marriage that God ordains through sex and human love that God has put into our hearts for one another. The Lord provided this manner. And by the way, these guys decided they love them women. You think they caught that woman, went home and hated her? They went home and loved her. You think them gals didn't love them men? Yeah, they did. You know, you can love who you want to love. You can love when you want to love. You can do what you want to do. Or you can be an old bullhead and just love yourself. Look in the mirror. Ain't nobody good enough for me. I wouldn't have you on a Christmas tree. Praise the Lord. All right, let me get on two ladies here in the Bible. One was named Ruth, right here next to Judges 21. Ruth was a very chaste woman. She was a heathen. She came out of another country, a Moab. Here was Elimelech and Naomi with two of their sons went away from a famine. While they were there, the two sons married two of the daughters of the Moabites. Why God let it happen? These things are very unusual. God did not permit it usually. But like the whale swallowing Jonah, there's a lot of exceptional things in that Bible that don't follow the rule. It's not the norm. It's not the mean. It's not the thing that God ordains routinely. But anyway, the two sons died. You can see why God did it, but anyway, they didn't know it. So the two sons died and Naomi's husband died. And when the famine was over, she started home and her two daughters-in-law behind her, Orpha and Ruth. When she got to the border, she said, "Nay, my daughters, don't follow me." She says, "I don't have a thing left. I left full. I'm going back empty. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara because I'm bitter." She says, "Even if there was any sons in me, if I got a husband and had sons, would you wait until they got grown? Oh, it grieves me much, daughters. You turn back to your people and your gods, for the hand of the Lord's against me." That's down to verse 15 in Ruth 1. But in verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Now see, this is Christian love and marriage and sex that's going to be fulfilled. "Where you die, I'll die. There I'll be buried. And the Lord do more so to me, and also if aught but death part thee and me." And Naomi saw she was steadfastly minded to go with her. She didn't say any more. And they walked on together. When it came to Bethlehem, the whole city was moved when she came back. No husband, no sons, just a foreign girl with her. Lord, have mercy. But she got moving. She said, "My daughter, I've got a kinsman named Boaz. He's a mighty man of wealth. He was up in his 50s. She was still very young, perhaps 25 or 30. It says, "I'm going to arrange this thing now. I want you to go out in his fields. I want you to glean during the harvest." And said, then when the end of the harvest is over, she advised her, said, "You go in and lay. You mark the place where he lays. And then you go down and lay at his feet at the end of harvest and see what happens." She listened to her mother-in-law. She didn't think, "Oh, you let me pick out a guy. I want one of them young squirts out there." Naomi was a very wise woman, and she had a virtuous daughter-in-law, a wise and a daughter-in-law with common sense. So she listened to her mother-in-law, and she went and laid at night. That was against the law. And during the night, Boaz woke up, and there's somebody laying there, and he says, "Who is that at my feet?" She said, "It's Ruth." "Oh, my Lord, a woman in the threshing floor? My mom-in-law told me to come lay down here, that you were a near kinsman. Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, that you didn't look at them young men, and you looked at me." And says, "I tell you, there's a kinsman closer than I. He's got first whack at you now, but you go home, and in the morning I'll find out what we can do about this." Praise God. Well, Ruth wasn't out there
fussing and fretting. I ain't going to listen to you. I ain't going to do nothing you tell me to do. I'm big as anybody, and I'm old enough to do this.
Oh, you old Christians. Ain't nothing no hard-headed, aggravating Christian.